Saints.
Good morning.
And let's give God a hand clap of praise for Brother Kevin today. I still think he's the best on forerunner in the country. Amen. Certainly a blessing the way that God uses him to help to set the stage, to create the right atmosphere for worship and for praise. Amen. For certainly we all be honest with ourselves when we get up in the mornings and even think for a moment just about the condition that our world is in. It can be downright discouraging, amen. But it's important to get to a place in God's house where our mind can be kept in perfect peace as it stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I thank God for him, amen. I'm excited for three main reasons today. First of all, I'm excited because in spite of what's happening in our world, God is still in control.
Yes.
He's still God, amen. And he's in control. And secondly, I'm excited because, you know, we haven't dotted every I nor crossed every T. We've all sinned, come short of God's glory, but he's still speaking to us, amen. So I'm excited because there's a word coming from the Lord. And thirdly, I'm excited because we could have been doing anything under the sun this morning, but we chose to come up to God's house and to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so let's give ourselves a hand of praise. Hallelujah. There is a word coming from the Lord, as I said earlier, and I want to call your attention to the epistle of 1 John. 1 John, and I want you to turn with me to chapter 2 of 1 John.
Page 900, if you have a church Bible.
Page 900, and you call them pew Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. But in the holy book that you all have, exactly alike, it's on page 900, Brother Kevin? Page
900,
amen. If you have the Dr. Tony Evans Christian Standard Bible, it's on page 1494. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're there, just be saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know we all warmed up as Brother Kevin had us participating earlier, singing songs together. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. I've been preaching from that a lot lately because it's real plain, it's real simplistic. It doesn't take away from the translation that you all have. I know sometimes people get concerned about that, but just listen to the words very carefully. In 1 John chapter 2, I want you to look with me at verses 18 through 20. Okay, verses 18 through 20. And the word of God reads like this. It says, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belongs to us. Verse 20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Amen. We'll stop there with the reading. I want to focus just for a little while on the simple subject of the last hour. The last hour. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this opportune time to be here today to share your word. People, and humbly ask for forgiveness of all of our sins. Lord God, may you cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just touch the little me hiding behind that old rugged cross. We ask that you would open up our minds, our hearts, to be receptive to your word, to the truth. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would be the ultimate teacher and preacher in this room. And just we just ask that you would receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise that you so richly deserve. As a matter of fact, Father, we give it to you now in advance before another word is said. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My brothers and my sisters, this little epistle is written by the Apostle John, who was the son of Zebedee. John is the apostle of intimacy. He is the apostle that just loved people. And if there's a disciple or an apostle that you would study concerning the characteristics of love, it would have been the Apostle John. John is very concerned as he writes this epistle with our fellowship. He's concerned with our fellowship, and that is our closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ. For when we think about fellowship, we often think about sitting down just to eat a meal. But the thing that John wants us to understand is that Christian fellowship is deeper than sitting down to eat a meal. Christian fellowship can really only be expressed and conveniently manifested if we have the right relationship, first and foremost, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for many churches are finding that it's hard to experience good old fellowship anymore. And I would say that a big blockage, a big wall that has been built up that prevents good biblical Christian fellowship is if our relationship with the Lord is not as intimate as it should be, it's going to be hard to have Christian fellowship one with another. I wish I had an amen right there. My brother said, expressed earlier that he, when it was time to ask for special prayer requests, he did not ask for prayer for himself, but he said, I'd like to request prayer for my brother here and for his family. And that is a mark of genuine Christian fellowship. And apparently the church that John is writing to are having some struggles with fellowship. And I want to share with you that a big reason for struggle with fellowship is when we don't get the full gospel. Somebody should have said amen right there. When we don't get the full gospel, what I'm saying is Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. As a matter of fact, when I was last here preaching, we came out of Genesis and we talked about the number that Satan was doing on Eve and Adam at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we said that Satan's tactic back then is the same that it is today, and that is to always distract. But not only distract, but to prevent us from believing the truth that God has said out of his very own mouth. And is anybody here today who knows that the truth can only be found in the Bible? The full truth can only be found in the Bible, the 66 books from Genesis to Revelation. We can read Reader's Digest. We can go to all these self-help books, but I stop by to tell you that the infallible Word of God is still where we must find the truth. And so John is writing this book of intimacy. He's writing to Christians whom he addresses in this epistle as little children. He speaks of obedience. He talks about walking with God in righteousness. He also talks about submission to the truth, how vital that is. For does anybody know that no matter how much you receive the truth, no matter how true it is, but if we don't submit to the truth, it won't do us any good. He also talks about how we are to be functioning together in love as being the key elements of intimacy with God. Now, I want to stick a pin right there, because no matter how much we say we love God, if we are not manifesting true biblical intimacy with one another, then the fact that we say we love God doesn't mean anything. I wish somebody knew what I was preaching about. And so we must understand, if we are going to realize why the world is no longer impacted, that's what we talked about, about being impacted. Well, the reason why the world is no longer impacted by the church, it's because they don't see what God has designed for them to see. We think that just because we get up on Sunday and go to church and they see us carrying a Bible, that that's supposed to impact the world. But I stop by to tell you that they've got to see biblical intimacy with us as Christians in order for them to ever be impacted. And As a matter of fact, the reason why people were impacted by Jesus is because he loved people who were not lovable. It's because he was spending time with people that the world had turned their backs upon. And so we got to understand that if we're going to serve a supernatural God, we got to get back to supernatural living. And so, my brothers and my sisters, John writes about truth and he writes about love. As a matter of fact, all the way through the epistle, he talks about truth and he talks about love. And I remember Jesus saying in John chapter 14, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in other words, he says, "I am the truth." And does anybody know that you can't suppress the truth? You can hold it down, but you can't stop it from rising. It's just a matter of time. As a matter of fact, Jesus was buried. The truth was buried, but he got up early on Sunday morning. And if death couldn't hold him, I'm about to tell you that we can't hold down the truth. And so he talks about truth and he talks about love. And anybody's ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 13? And it talks about how love is kind and love is not puffed up. Love does not vaunt itself. It's not envious. It rejoices not in iniquity. In other words, if you replace the word love with Jesus, you'll find that that's why it's not those things. And so what John wants us to understand is we need to have biblical fellowship. He also says this. He says truth is the absolute standard by which reality is measured. And so the church will never be a reality until we are not only speaking the truth, but also living the truth. That's when the church will become a reality. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, truth is the absolute standard by which reality is measured, and love is the expression of that truth in our care for one another. Yes, it is. John says that when the church operates in truth and love, we experience true intimacy with God. And what that says to me is that we cannot hopscotch and skip over each other trying to love God without loving one another. And so there's a revelation in this context today. And the revelation, my brothers and my sisters, that God wants us to understand is that God says you can't love me without a willingness to love one another. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14, in verses 34 and 35, that all men will know that you are my disciples by the love that ye have one for another. He said, "Love ye one another as I have loved you." Somebody ought to help me right there. What John does here in this particular passage of scripture, when you look at verse 18, well, first of all, if you go back to verses 12 through 16, I'm not going to read it all to you, but John addresses three groups of people. In verse 12, he says, "I'm writing to you little children." He says in verse 13, "I'm writing to you fathers." He says in verse 14, "I'm writing to you children." One might say, well, why is John addressing little children, fathers, and children? I want to encourage you to take a look at it from this perspective, that John realizes that we are all at different levels in our spiritual walk with God. And so what John does is he says, "I want to write to everybody, no matter what level you are on."